From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, it's time to get it cracking once again. It's the start of another productive work week on this Monday, October 7th, 2013. My birthday. Can you believe that? Man, time flies. But we have a great show in store for you all, and we'll be taking your calls throughout the entire show. No birthday wishes, though. I mean, my phone is going off crazy right now as we speak. But anyway, we have a lot of we want to get your thoughts on all of the weekend action that took place in the world of football. Yes, the Michigan State football team starting off conference play on a good note, getting a 26-14 win over Iowa on Saturday. What did you think of that one? And how about the Honolulu Blue? The Lions, yes, they fell to Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. The Lions were without their star wide receiver, Calvin Johnson. Give us a call right here at Current Sports by calling 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Want to get your thoughts on either one of those games. Well, let's dig into a bit more detail when it comes to those two games. Here are your current sports headlines for this October 7, 2013. All right, the Tigers and A's. In the ALDS, the Tigers topped the Oakland Athletics in Game 1 on Friday. 3-2, the final of that one with Max Scherzer on the mound. But the bats were just like Mid-Michigan's weather today. In game two. Yes, they were ice cold, folks. The Tigers failed to score a run, losing 1-0 in that game two on Saturday. Now, Justin Verlander and Sonny Gray, they put on a show, folks. They were unbelievable. JV looked like old JV, to say the least, folks. Now, I tell you what, the Oakland Athletics, they ended up winning that game two in the bottom of the ninth for a 1-0 walk-off win over the Tigers. Rookie catcher Steven Vogt, he had bases loaded, a bases loaded single off Rick Porcello to drive in the winning run with nobody out in the ninth. Now, Verlander allowed four hits, just four hits, walked one, struck out 11 in seven. Yes, seven shutout innings. He threw 117 pitches, and guess how many were for strikes? 73, folks. 73. That's the Verlander I know. He was vintage Verlander that day. The series now heads back to Detroit for Game 3, which takes place in just a few minutes, folks. Yes, we will give you a score update throughout the entire hour when it comes to the Tigers and Athletics. So stay tuned. We'll keep you updated on that one. Game 3 again taking place in just a few minutes. First pitch is set off. It's set to ready to get kicked off very, very soon. Annabelle Sanchez will start for the Tigers against A's right-hander Gerard Parker. So don't miss that. We'll have updates throughout the entire show. Lions-Packers. The Detroit Lions fell to the Green Bay Packers, as we noted in our intro, 22-9. Calvin Johnson did not play due to a knee injury. For all of you who play fantasy football, I know you all were just in panic before that game, because I didn't get the message until about 5 minutes before kickoff that Calvin Johnson wasn't playing. But thank goodness Calvin, you know, he isn't on my fantasy team, so I didn't have to worry about that. But anyway, the Packers, they extended their winning streak in Wisconsin over the Lions, the Lions are now 3-2. That's 23 game winning streak over the Lions when it comes to their battles in Wisconsin. I don't know if we call them battles, but anyway, Aaron Rodgers, QB for the Packers, was 20-30. For 274 yards, and Eddie Lacy ran for 99 yards on 23 carries in his return from a concussion. Now, Reggie Bush was held to just 44 yards, folks, on 13 carries and 4 catches for 25 yards. Matthew Stafford, who finished 25-40 for 262 yards, said he had an inkling Saturday that Calvin Johnson might be out, saying, quote, "He's one of the guys on our team that can stretch the field. I know you want to be out there. It's a tough situation that we were in." The Lions' only touchdown came late when Stafford found Chris Durham for a 13-yard score. So there you have it, Lions. I tell you what, that offense was just horrid to watch, and it makes a huge difference when you have Calvin Johnson, who's one of the premier players in this league, the best wide receiver in the league. When you have a weapon like Calvin Johnson out, it just really looked to me like it just threw off the entire team. We'll talk about that later on, though, and dive more in depth in that game. Again, you can give us a call here at the station, 517-355-9527, to give your thoughts on the Lions' loss to the Packers, or if you want to talk about that MSU-Iowa game, which we'll dive into right now. Connor Cook threw for a career high 277 yards and two touchdowns as Michigan State opened Big Ten play with a 26-14 win over Iowa on Saturday. Now, Darquez Denard had a pair of interceptions for the Spartan, who are 4-1, now 1-0 in the Big Ten, who held the Hawkeyes scoreless in the second half. That defense was vintage Michigan State defense, people. Cook put Michigan State ahead to stay with a 37-yard touchdown pass to Benny Fowler early in the third quarter. Good to see Benny Fowler, you know, getting his confidence back to say the most in that one, because Benny Fowler, a guy who had lost his starting spot, coming from the coaching staff, they said that Benny Fowler worked harder than any other Michigan State football player that entire week last week to kind of play with a chip on his shoulder. Benny felt as though he had something to prove, and he definitely, it's good to see him have a good game. Freshman Michael Geiger added 3 field goals in the second half for the Spartans, who held Iowa to just 23 yards. Yes, 23 yards rushing. Man, outstanding defense by MSU. The Spartans also came up huge on special teams, up 6 early in the fourth quarter. Michigan State pulled off a crucial pump fake. I tell you what, Mike Sadler, who ran for 24 yards, he set up a 49-yard field goal by Michael Geiger, that put the Spartans up 23-14 with 13:28 left. Michigan State's defense entered play as the only one in the country allowing fewer than 200 yards a game, and Mark Wiseman ran for just 9 yards on 7 carries for the Hawkeyes. That Michigan State defense is vintage, folks. And going back to that pump fake that Mike Sadler ran for, again, it was 25 yards for the first down there. Mark D'Antonio is calling it, he's dubbing that play as, quote, "Hey diddle diddle, Sadler up the middle." How about that? Now, 2 weeks after a trick play derailed a promising drive at Notre Dame, Michigan State head coach Mark D'Antonio, he was ready to roll the dice, and he did it. Again, opening play of the fourth quarter, they executed that fake punt that saw Sadler sprint for 25 yards. D'Antonio, no stranger to trick plays, dubbed the play again. Hey, diddle, diddle, send Sadler up the middle. The 25-yard gain was more than the Iowa ground game tallied the entire day. Again, I just said 23 yards. That's pitiful. Instead of the Spartans for a Michael Geiger field goal, 49-yard field goal at that. Michael Geiger, who was a highly recruited kicker coming out of high school. Man, he has a leg on him, folks. Now, while it wasn't exactly little giants, Sadler had to keep his cool in the moments leading up to the fake. He went out and said, quote, "I'm out there trying to keep my leg loose, trying to sell it to everyone that we're about to punt the ball. But that was the longest 5 minutes of my life just waiting. I was just thinking of all the things that could go wrong." So very well executed, though, Sadler. You definitely pulled it off. I like that. I like the name of the play, though. Hey, diddle, diddle, Sadler up the middle. That's pretty funny stuff. All right, U of M, we got to talk Wolverines really quick. After slogging through 2 consecutive games against inferior opponents, the Michigan Wolverines finally got back on track with a 42-13 win over Minnesota. Devin Gardner, he played turnover-free football. Can you believe that, huh? Yeah, the way he looked these past few games. Turnover-free football, though, for Devin Gardner. And Fitzgerald Toussaint added 2 rushing scores to propel the Wolverines to an easy W. Now, on the hardwood, John Beilein and the Wolverines basketball team received a verbal commitment from a sweet shooting big man, DJ Wilson, the 3-star 6'9 stretch power forward, is Michigan's 4th commitment of the 2014 class and committed after attending the football game this weekend. Wilson went on to say, "The game was crazy. I've never been to a real college football game before. For that to be my first game, I liked it. It was crazy. I mean, 110,000 people all in one place and the football team won too. It went well." So again, sweet shooting big man DJ Wilson has signed with the Michigan Wolverines basketball team. Don Treadwell, all right, former MSU offensive coordinator Don Treadwell was fired by Miami of Ohio Sunday after his team fell to 0-5 with a loss to Central Michigan University. Now, Treadwell went 8-21 in three seasons at his alma mater, which has yet to announce an interim head coach. Don is a great man. Nobody can disagree with that, said Miami Athletics Director David Saylor in a school news release. He went on to say, "But I felt a change was needed immediately in the direction of the program." Now, Treadwell, whose son Blake plays on MSU's offensive line, is the third FBS coach fired this season, joining USC's Lane Kiffin and UConn's Paul Pasqualoni. So Don Treadwell fired. And we're going to talk with Chris Solari, who's a sports writer for the Lansing State Journal. He actually talked to D'Antonio about Treadwell's firing during yesterday's teleconference. He'll have comments on that, so don't miss that. MSU volleyball. Michigan State extended its winning streak to 13 straight matches with a 3-0 victory over Northwestern on Saturday night. Lauren Wazinski had a 19-kill, 4-ace, 6-dig performance, while Chloe Renig had 4 blocks and 11 kills. Alexis Matthews tied her season best 9 blocks as well. Now, MSU is now 15-1, undefeated at 4-0 in the Big Ten. They're off to its best start since the 1996 season when the Spartans won their first 12 Big Ten matches. Now, Michigan State welcomes Iowa and number 10 Nebraska to Jenison next Friday and Saturday, with each game at 7 p.m. And I'm sure many of you will be following that. Wings weekend recap. The Red Wings visited the Carolina Hurricanes and Boston Bruins this weekend and ended up splitting the series in the first game. Steven Weiss scored at the 3-minute and 13 mark of overtime for the Red Wings, who came from 2 goals down in the third to beat Carolina 3-2. Henrik Zetterberg tied it with a goal with 16.4 seconds left in the third to push it into overtime. In the second game, Boston had 2 power play goals against the Red Wings to give them their first loss in the season, with a 4-1 victory over the Wings. The Wings host the Phoenix Coyotes on Thursday and the Philadelphia Flyers on Saturday. President's Cup, no surprise here. On Sunday, the American team secured the 18th and clinching point for their 8th win in 10 President's Cups. Just total dominance. And in a fitting way, Tiger Woods won the last USA point. It was the third consecutive President's Cup that Woods earned the clinching point. He also earned the most points, which were 4, out of any player. Now, overall, the U.S. side earned 18.5 of the possible 34 for their team. The USA team has only lost once in 10 President's Cups. That's unbelievable right there. And what a fitting way. Tiger Woods clinches it, you know, 3 times straight for Tiger now. 3 times. He's unbelievable. Well, those are your current sports headlines for this October 7, 2013. Again, if you want to comment on any of those, give us a call right here at the station. 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527. We also want to get your thoughts on the MSU-Iowa game and, of course, the Lions and Packers. Anything that's on your mind. Again, that's 517-355-9527. And to shed some light on that MSU-Iowa game, it's my pleasure to welcome Michigan State sports reporter for the Lansing State Journal, Chris Solari. Chris, how you doing? Welcome to Current Sports.
Hi, Al. Doing well today, trying to stay as warm as possible. It's a little chilly for this baseball game started, but
yes, it is, man. I had to bring out the jacket today, man. I haven't done that in a while.
Yeah, no kidding. And our office today was, I think they still have the air conditioner on, so still trying to thaw out from that.
Don't get sick, Chris. That's bad, man. Come on, man. Turn the air off. That's crazy. All right, Chris, let's dive right into it, though, man. What were your general thoughts on MSU's performance against Iowa?
Well, I think the thing that stands out, obviously, to everybody was that there's an offense again. You look at what Connor Cook did, stretching the field a little bit, completing about a little over half of his passes, 277 yards, a couple touchdowns. It was surprising in a way because Iowa's defense is so good. at least up front against the run, but Connor Cook took advantage of them through the air, and the receivers caught the ball. And it's amazing when those two things can, when you can throw the ball to the guys and then they can catch it, it's amazing that the ball can go the other direction down the field. I think it feels like we've forgotten that around.
We've definitely forgotten that around here because we haven't seen it often, Chris. Now, I'll tell you what, so after Cook's performance on Saturday, I got to ask you, Chris, can we finally put this QB question to bed?
I believe so. I believe that Mark D'Antonio is committed to Connor Cook as his starter, and he said as much Sunday night in his teleconference, kind of recapping the Iowa game. But then again, I think anything that we've learned from this team this year is to expect the unexpected. So I'd still say that this is Connor Cook's job.
Right.
But again, you never know. You know, history is what we have to go off of with this.
Right.
And Mark D'Antonio pulled him at Notre Dame, and he shuffled him around early. So one game is definitely a good thing. And you saw what that the ability and consistency to play and not get pulled did for Connor Cook. So I do believe that moving forward, he will be the guy.
Yeah, I think so, too. And for those listening right now, Cook was 25 for 44 in his attempts, completion in attempts, for 277 yards and 2 touchdowns, 1 INT. So, yeah, I thought Cook had a very, very solid game. And you know what, Chris, I want to ask you about McGarry Kings. And he's really, you know, we saw some spurts there on Saturday that really made me turn my head and say, this McGarry Kings could be a special player. He had 5 receptions for 94 yards, 1 touchdown. His longest play was 46 yards. What are your impressions of how good this kid McGarry Kings can be?
Well, I think he's got the kind of playmaking ability that this offense needs and that Mark D'Antonio has been looking for. And I think you saw that when they put him back on punt returns. He had a 30-yard punt return, so you saw some movement in the punt return game. To me, was a very big deal.
Because
McGarry Kings had been catching the ball, but getting the punt return and getting some positive yardage and better field position certainly helped the offense. On the offensive side of the ball, McGarry Kings has very good hands, and he runs very crisp routes. In the 46-yard touchdown pass from Connor Cook, you saw a really crisp route coming over the middle and getting past his guy. And that play, to me, signifies Connor Cook's turning point because he throws that off his back foot but stands in the pocket, taking the pressure. Jeremy Langford with a great pickup, great protection from the offensive line, a great route, a great throw, and then downfield blocking from Benny Fowler. That, to me, was Connor Cook's turning point. And it's not really a surprise that McGarry Kings had a hand in that because he has been the legitimate playmaker that this offense has wanted.
Yeah, he's been that playmaker that you look at and say, okay, this could definitely, as far as the offense is concerned, he's a little spark plug, man. I think he'll be great down the line. Now, Benny Fowler also, of course, got some action. I think it was good for him, Chris, to, you know, from a confidence standpoint, to have a good game. Did it surprise you the way Fowler came out? He had 9 receptions for 92 yards and 1 touchdown. What were your impressions of Fowler, and what does that do as far as, you know, his confidence goes?
I think Benny's confidence is as high as it's been. I think that the game at Notre Dame really started to show that Benny Fowler has turned a corner and kind of got that senior moment where he realizes that there aren't many games left and it's now or never for him to make his mark and kind of erase what last year was. And you started to see that against Notre Dame, and you definitely saw it against Iowa. He caught everything thrown his way. He made moves after the catch. He ran great routes. The touchdown route was just a deep post. He beat his guy. Another great throw by Connor Cook to throw it to the spot and allow Benny Fowler to beat his guy and get to it into the end zone for a 37-yard touchdown. And, you know, when you got two receivers, and again, let's credit Aaron Burbridge, too. He only had 3 catches for 22 yards, but Burbridge showed some pretty good hands again. And Tony Lippett with another nice catch. So if you can get those 3 or 4 guys in that passing game producing and moving you downfield, that alleviates a lot of the pressure on Connor Cook as a first-time starter.
Right. And you know, something I didn't see was a lot of drops. And, of course, that's something, Chris, you and I and the entire media have been just harping on and asking questions about since the start of the season and going back to last season, of course. And it looked good. You know, from a confidence standpoint, I think that game was much needed for that Michigan State football team, Chris. Now, without a doubt, man. And you know, something that really stuck out to me after that game, and I stuck out to everyone, was Michigan State's defense holding Iowa to just 23 yards on the ground. That's redonkulous, Chris. I mean, that's unbelievable right there. What do you think makes this defense so good?
That's a good question. When Mike Sadler outrushes the other team, that
right.
says quite a bit.
right.
I think it obviously starts at the linebacker spot when you've got the two veterans with Max Bulla and Denicos Allen.
Mm-hmm.
Those two right there, and then plus Tywan Jones and Jairus Jones when Jairus is healthy, they make it as good a linebacking core as there is in the Big Ten, if not the country.
Mm-hmm.
So you start there, and I think when you build forward, the defensive line has played exceptional, I think, this year. They've managed to stuff the run and fill the gaps as they have. They've got a little more pressure this year than they did last year, which was a definite point of emphasis in the offseason. And when you've got two corners like Trey Waynes and Darquez Denard, who was named Big Ten Player of the Week today on defense, that allows you to do so much because you can put those two out on an island in single coverage and press man coverage, and they can attack receivers, run stride for stride with them, play physical with them. Sometimes you see it like Notre Dame where a little bit of hand play gets called, but that's the nature of playing press man coverage. But they stay stride for stride. I mean, Denard had two interceptions against Iowa. And the safety help over the top, when you're able to have an injury to Isaiah Lewis that knocks him out for a while and bring in a backup and get R.J. Williamson my mind is just slipping me.
You're good.
Curtis Drummond. Excuse me.
Curtis, yeah.
When you've got the two safeties, three safeties deep, and that's not even counting Demetrius Cox, who's right behind them for playing time.
Right, yeah.
That depth. Along with the talent, really means that teams aren't going to do a lot against you.
Not at all. I mean, Michigan State's defense is one of the best in the country. I tell you, Narduzzi has that train rolling and has been for quite some time now. And also, Chris, you know what? I was on Twitter last night and saw you tweeting, as always. We're both always tweeting, I tell you. And saw you tweeting about D'Antonio's teleconference yesterday about the Don Treadwell firing. For those of you who don't know, as we mentioned in our current sports headlines, former MSU offensive coordinator Don Treadwell was fired by Miami of Ohio Sunday after his team fell 0-5 with a loss to CMU. Chris, what did D'Antonio say about the firing?
Well, he was very frank, and he talked quite a bit about Don Treadwell, the person, and how he's a leader of men and a very good leader for that team because, really, he's got a lot of the attributes that you need to be a head coach. And talked about the relationships that Don Treadwell built with his players both at Michigan State and at Miami of Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
And really had some pointed words. I've got the actual quote here. He said, Mark Antonio said, quote, so it's sad, it leaves a void in the leadership at Miami in my respect. I'm sure the AD won't be the football coach this week. Is that good enough of a statement? So that tells you something right there he's called this, and when we asked him about some of the other firings around the country, the Lane Kiffin firing and the changeover of Paul Pasqualoni at Connecticut last week,
yeah.
he was very pointed and talked about how it's a fickle nature and how society doesn't necessarily value some of the things that coaches do away from the game, that everything is solely predicated on what happens on the field.
All about and wins, huh? Yeah.
It is all about, I believe the thing he said was just win, baby. And that's
right.
That's true. And, you know, there does have to be a balance, but there also has to be the winning because, let's face it, that's where the money comes from for the rest of the athletic department. And athletic department heads are really, really in need of those dollars. So when you see fans start slipping away like USC, it has, I believe, a 24% drop-off this year in attendance for Lane Kiffin. And that was part of the reason, and the production is part of the reason. So you got to keep the fans happy, and you got to keep the product moving forward.
Chris, personally, do you think this was the right move for Miami of Ohio? And did it surprise you?
It didn't necessarily surprise me because, after watching them against Illinois 2 weeks ago, they're struggling. They're struggling mightily. They struggled against Central Michigan this week. They have a trouble on the defensive side of the ball. And the MAC is such a weird league that, you're either going to move up or you're going to move back out pretty quickly.
it doesn't seem like there's a lot of middle ground with long tenured coaches there, because it's it's such a feeder league.
Right or wrong.
I mean, I think that, Don Treadwell probably deserved a little bit longer to implement what he wanted to do. But now, you look at a guy that's going to be looking probably not for a head coaching job now. He'll probably be looking again to go back and become a coordinator.
Right. That's true. Very, very true. I wouldn't be surprised if that happened. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just now joining us here on Current Sports, I'm talking with Chris Solari, Michigan State sports writer for the Lansing State Journal. So, Chris, also, just shift gears really quick. I am told that you were coaching the green and white hockey game this past weekend.
Correct.
Is that so? How did that go, brother?
Well, I would like to say that I am one of the victorious coaches from the green squad and our 2-0 victory.
2-0, huh? Shutout. Wow.
Yeah, I think I did a good job of directing and guiding our players and getting those goals and pitching the shutout.
Right.
But the reality is, what I think versus what actually happened is completely different.
Okay, right.
When you have a guy like Jake Hildebrand in net pitching a shutout, and you've got the skilled players up front that we had,
yeah.
Really, the one thing I learned is controlled chaos on a hockey bench, and those guys know what they're doing. The coaching takes place during practice. This is when they get out there, they know what they're doing, and we were just kind of window dressing. And
right.
No offense to Jason Colthorpe, but
Colthorpe was there too. Wow.
Jason Colthorpe was the honorary head coach for our squad.
Right.
And he was the best window dressing that we could have ever had.
Jason is definitely a pretty boy, man. He does a great job, though.
Yeah. But it was a lot of fun, and I can't thank Coach Tom Anastas and Tom Newton and Kelly Miller for their guidance and really getting a different insight into what goes on a game day. Something that, as a reporter, you don't always get access to, and you don't always get to see, and you see why there's a vibe around this program that it's taking the right turn and it's on the move.
So you gain more of appreciation for the coaching aspect of things, huh, Chris?
You absolutely do, and that game moves really fast down at ice level.
Oh, I can't even imagine. Well, that's great that you participated in that. And I tell you what, what's your outlook for the MSU hockey team now? I know they were, it was a rough season for them last season. How is Tom Anastas? And we will also have time on this show as the week goes on. But what's your outlook for this MSU hockey team right now, Chris?
It's going to be another year of rebuilding. I think that
they're young too, right? Yeah, very young.
They're very young. They only lost 4 seniors from last year, and they bring in 6 new players this year. 5 of them are offensive players, which that was an area of need. That they were one of the lowest scoring teams in the country, one of the lowest power play generating teams in the country, and they're hoping that some this is the building block year.
Right.
Really, with last year's class, I believe they had 12 new players come in, 10 of them were freshmen. These 2 years will be the building block. The recruiting classes that Tom has down the road. Looking at 2014, 15, 16, that's where the big talent kids are right now. Because the way hockey is, the younger kids are getting recruited at 13, 14 and committing 14, 15.
Mm-hmm.
So when Tom Anastas took over, most of those kids had already been committed to other programs.
Okay, right.
So now you're starting to see he's having some sway with these kids, some better young defensemen down in the Detroit Honey Bake program and around the country. He's got a high-level kid coming in from Maryland. There's going to be, I believe, a resurgence, and I think that the other part of the resurgence will be the Big Ten Hockey League that starts this year. And
yeah, I'm excited about that.
More homes.
Yeah, without a doubt, definitely excited about that. And I guess you can say, Chris, patience is a virtue. It doesn't, things aren't going to change, and, we can't expect it to happen, in 2 seconds, especially when you talk about a young program that, this MSU hockey team currently has. Thanks so much, Chris. Appreciate the insight, man.
Anytime, Al. We'll talk to you soon.
Definitely. See you around. All right. Chris Solari, MSU sports writer for the Lansing State Journal. Great guy. Great guy there. So, all right. Well, let's take a quick break, and we'll return to Current Sports. We're going to be taking your calls on the MSU-Iowa game, Lions and Packers, Tigers and A's, anything that's on your mind. Give us a call, 517-355-9527. Don't go anywhere. More Current Sports is coming right back.
I'm Robin Young. Next time on Here and Now, a father decides to try to do his eighth grade daughter's homework for a week.
The takeaway from it is that there is an awful lot of homework. And the content of that homework varies very widely, from stuff that's very thought-provoking to stuff that seems a lot more like busy work.
Next time on Here and Now from NPR and WBUR Boston.
That's Here and Now, coming up at 2 p.m.
7 days a week, Current State brings you the issues, personalities, and events making the heart of Mid-Michigan beat.
To be able to start a farmer's market takes time and energy, people power, and planning.
We change the notes, or we change the phrasing, or we change something for what might happen, and you can't really predict, and that's the beauty of jazz.
We are reinventing city government as we go along. It's like redesigning the airplane while in flight.
Current State, weekdays at 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. on 90.5 WKAR.
Welcome back to Current Sports. As always, I'm your host, Al Martin. Well, it's our fall membership campaign here at WKAR. Time for you to make your investment in Current Sports on this public radio station. Make your call now at 517-353-5000 or use the Give Now link at WKAR.org.
All right, guys, support for WKAR comes in lots of different forms: cash, checks, credit cards, investments, employer matching gifts, and even used cars. Al, you got a used car you're looking to unload?
I used to have one. Yeah,
we'll take it off your hands.
If I had my Buick still, I would give you guys my Buick if
Be
I could.
Be happy to have it.
Yes.
You don't need to have a certain bank balance or investment portfolio to love and appreciate WKAR. I know that probably more than anybody from experience, because
right.
I don't have a very nice investment portfolio. My bank balances aren't great, but I can still find, the time and the resources to invest in WKAR and contribute to WKAR. And since everyone out there is listening, please become a member or renew your annual support by calling 517-353-5000 or visiting our website at WKAR.org. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you guys so much. And you know what, Matt? It's so comforting with me. You know, to belong to a group. I love you guys here at Current Sports. I love the entire WKRR team. It's a family. It truly is a family.
Warm in my heart, Al.
I'm just a gushy guy sometimes, you know. But anyway, even when you're among strangers, though, Matt, the moment you spot someone else wearing your favorite team's ball cap or a sweatshirt from your alma mater, you know, you sense an instant connection just like that. I was just in Ohio, rocking my Detroit Pistons cap. Another guy, it was so random, walking through the mall, had on the same Detroit Pistons cap, instantly connected.
Right, you guys are just friends right off the bat.
Boom. Boom shakalaka right off the bat, man. Now, that's sort of what it feels like to be a WKAR member. Together, you, with other contributing listeners, make a real difference in keeping this service alive and well at AM 870. Now, when you run into fellow WKAR members, you know that you share similar core values and a responsibility to support the programming that you enjoy. Please become a part of this important group now by calling 517-353-5000.
I hear you. And Al, people make investments for a number of different reasons. They want to help their community, help others, maybe even help themselves. A good way to do all three of those things is to make a contribution to WKAR and public radio. Your gift to WKAR makes it possible for you and everyone else who listens to hear quality public radio 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. And when you invest in WKAR, there's no doubt you'll get a positive return with access to public radio you can depend on, not to mention the perks you get outside of that. I mean,
yeah, a lot.
$120 a year, that's 10 bucks a month. You get a member card.
Member card, that's nothing. 10 bucks a month. We blow that on candy some of
us. I mean, think about it like that's your Netflix subscription.
Right.
All right, not only are you supporting a great public radio station like this one right here at WKAR, you're also getting perks out at restaurants and stores around the area.
You can't get anywhere else.
I'm a big fan of Big John's Steak and Onion.
Let's face it.
You know what's better than one steak and onion sandwich?
What's that?
Two.
Two.
And that's what you get when you have a WKAR member card. You get two for the price of one.
Right.
Al, I got a steak addiction. I got a steak addiction, and this is feeding my habit right here.
Yeah, it's
so
true.
So anybody out there listening, go ahead, pick up a phone, call 517-353-5000, or visit us at WKAR.org and make a contribution.
Please make a contribution, ladies and gents. Now, no matter what your chosen career, whether you're a doctor, lawyer, teacher, fireman, whatever you do, we all want to make a difference. There's no doubt that we are all important in the lives of our families, our friends, and coworkers. And today, WKAR offers you a chance to make a difference in our wider community. Make a difference, folks. Do it right now. Your donation during the membership drive helps make our community a better place. And don't we all want that, Matt?
I think it's obvious.
It's very obvious.
I think we all do.
Now, we're spreading the love here on Current Sports,
Matt. Absolutely. Al, I'm going to give you a little history lesson.
Yeah.
First phonograph parlor opened in San Fran in 1889. Customers are sitting at a desk where they could speak through a tube and order a selection for a nickel. Back in 1950, the first all 45 RPM vinyl record jukebox was introduced. And today, if you're listening, might be the day you save your marriage. Maybe you do it with a day sponsorship from WKAR.
There you go.
You know all those times you forgot your anniversary?
Oh, man.
The wife gets angry because you don't have a good gift.
The girlfriend, yeah.
Forget about that.
Mm-hmm.
Get a day sponsorship. Plan it in advance. Honey, I forgot the gift. Oh, wait, I didn't. Turn on WKAR. They're going to be shouting out to you three different times a day.
Yes.
And you're covered.
They're
all
covered.
The bases are covered.
We look
Honey,
out to
I love you so much, I'm going to broadcast it over the public airwaves.
She will definitely love you for that.
It's worth every
That's
penny.
That's a great idea.
Worth every penny. Everybody listening, go out, call 517-353-5000 or visit WKAR.org.
See, we even give you relationship advice here on Current Sports.
We do a little bit of everything.
We do it all. We're like Hitch here on Current Sports. We are the
Am I Will Smith or am I Kevin James?
You're Will Smith. I'll be Kevin James.
Whew, role reversal. I like that.
Role reversal. Yeah. Huge role.
Let's remake Hitch, Al. I think that's what we're going.
Yes, that's what we're aiming to do here. Now, many listeners believe that public radio stations like WKAR operate largely with federal tax dollars. But, man, that's simply not true. Federal funding accounts for just around 10% of WKAR's revenue. By comparison, about 50% of our funding comes from you and others such as business underwriters right here in our region. Vital donations from people just like you. That's where we get the funds we need to pay for the programming that you enjoy. If you love Current Sports, give us a call, 517-353-5000, with your gift today or make your contribution online at WKAR.org. Help us keep public radio strong in our region. Okay, well, let's transition now. Get back to the sports, the X's and O's, if you will. And, well, Matt, as we just talked about, MSU in Iowa, I just talked with Chris Solari, Michigan State sports writer for the Lansing State Journal, kind of dove into MSU in Iowa. Matt, you saw that game. What were your impressions of MSU's performance?
I loved it. Top to bottom, I loved it. Now, a couple things stood out to me as just big steps up from Notre Dame and the games before that. And I think it starts with the receivers. They stepped up across the board.
They definitely did.
Everybody stepped up. And, you know, you look at Kings and Fowler, and obviously those are the two big contributors with both over 90 yards receiving. But it wasn't just them. I mean, Tony Lippett had a grab early in the game where he basically just reached over an Iowa defender.
Wasn't that great?
Yeah. That's a catch nobody makes 3 weeks ago.
Right.
You know?
And I believe that play was also a pass interference call because the defender didn't even look at the ball.
Right.
But it was unbelievable. Yeah, it was a great catch.
And it's just guys making plays for Connor Cook. And
right.
as he gets more comfortable and they get more comfortable with him and the offense starts opening up paired with the defense we have, that's a scary group. Riley Bulla made a shoestring grab. Yeah, it was a 2-yard gain, but it was for a first down. Those are the plays that we were missing earlier in the season. And, you know, you look at Fowler, like I said, he emerges. He's so much better when he's a complimentary piece.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
when
instead
he
of
has,
being that man.
Exactly.
You know, instead of being the guy. Because, I mean, that was, you know, that was a lot of pressure on him, you know, once B.J. Cunningham left.
Yep.
Everybody that talk around
he
the town
was anointed the next guy.
He was anointed as the next, you know, star receiver for the Michigan State football team. And he really didn't live up to it. He hasn't lived up to it. But like
right.
you said, if he has a complimentary receiver along with him, that can make plays along with him. I mean, he does fit very nicely into that comfort role.
Absolutely. And, you know, when you have, you know, all we heard about earlier in the season was the drops and how it's in their heads and it's contagious
right.
and it's going to everybody. I think that can work the other way too. If you're, let's say you're Benny Fowler, you see McGarrett Kings make a play, extend it into a long touchdown. Everybody starts to do that. Everybody's going to start picking it up, making plays. And as the team gets more confidence offensively, again, they're scary. And the other big thing I saw, the end of the first half was terrible for the MSU defense. They broke down. Yeah. They had the long drive with the long touchdown to Bullock. And then they came back and really just, I don't know how Iowa was able to score twice at the end of the half there after having pretty much nothing offensively the whole half. Open up the second half, you know, instead of the panic setting in and MSU just letting another one get away, the offense comes right out, marches right down the field, and takes the lead back. That was huge.
Huge.
I mean,
it was a huge momentum shift there.
Exactly. So much pressure off the defense. You know, they kind of realized we don't have to win this game by ourselves. The offense is going to help us out. They're going to make plays. And they did. And then, you know, the second half, Iowa literally does nothing. Mark Wiseman, nowhere to be heard.
Right.
You know, you could tell their confidence was up offensively and defensively, and they ran away with it.
Yeah, you know, and the biggest thing that I take away from this game is, you know, as you just alluded to, is from a confidence perspective. Coming off, you know, that loss to Notre Dame, which was a long 2 weeks because you had to bye in between, you know, this game before they played Iowa. I'm sure that was on their mind for not just 1 week because they had to bye. 2 weeks, you're thinking about that loss. You know, you could have came out and walked out of, you know, a historic program like Notre Dame with a win, but you didn't. You came up short.
Right.
Coming into this one, they seem to just say, hey, we're just going to let our hair down and just go out there and play. And specifically, the guy I want to talk about is Connor Cook, because Connor Cook, I thought, really had a very solid game, something we haven't seen from an MSU quarterback this entire season. He was 25 for 44 again for 277 yards, two touchdowns. But you know what, something else I want to point out? He had one interception, and it was the first interception from an MSU quarterback the entire season. And you know what? That does a lot. It says a lot when I look at Connor Cook. And, you know, it says that he's willing to take a little risk here.
Right.
He's willing to, you know, to go down the field and try to make something happen. And, you know, when that interception happened, I'm sitting there like, okay, well, at least he's out there trying to make something happen out there. And that's something from a confidence perspective. It showed me that Cook wasn't holding back.
Right.
And that's what I really wanted to see, because even when, you know, Chris Olari talked about that Notre Dame game on that last drive, we're thinking that the quarterback question will be put to bed, and D'Antonio and the coaching staff put in Andrew Maxwell.
Right.
Connor Cook, I was really interested to see how he would approach this game. Would he approach it, you know, walking on eggshells, like his job was on the line, or would he go out there and just play football? And he just went out there and played football. And like you said, it helped that the receivers were great. I mean, it was Benny Fowler, like you said, playing in that complimentary role. He had spurts sitting there. I'm sitting there, where has this been all season? You know what I mean? Where has Benny Fowler been all season? And he finally showed up. McGarrett Kings has tremendous potential. I love him playing on special teams. He's got a lot of speed. He's very smart with the football. He's got a little edge to him that I really, really like when he's out there playing. He's looking you right in the eye, talking some trash out there a little bit. I think that's great. He can definitely be something special. And how about this Michigan State defense? We talk about them every single week, game by game, how great they are. I mean, what, 20-something yards on the ground the entire game? That's crazy. What was it, 23 yards?
Yep.
23 total yards on the ground for Iowa. That's unbelievable.
I mean, Mark Wiseman, you know, leading, you know, most carries in the country, held to 9.
Right. Most carries in the country.
And he did nothing.
Nothing at all. Wasn't a factor.
Big things offensively and defensively, you know, 37 minutes time of possession.
Right.
That's huge, especially against a ball control team like Iowa. And part of that is because they could not do anything offensively. Other than those two drives to end the first half, they could not move the ball. I mean, it took them forever to get a first down.
Right.
But the other side of that is the offense being able to move the ball. And it was both in chunks through the air and even on the ground. And the other big thing we got to talk about is Delton Williams.
Yeah, Delton
coming
Williams
in down the stretch, burning that red shirt.
Right, they burned the red shirt, threw Delton in there. It really surprised me because, you know, he hasn't played all year, and you throw him out there. They took some risks on Saturday that I said, okay, this Michigan State team is not laying down at all.
They all paid off.
You had the fake punt with Sadler going 25 yards. I really like that move. They showed some guts on Saturday. If anything, MSU's football team showed some guts and showed that, hey, we're in this thing, and you better look out for us as the year goes on. They sent a message, and they cleared up a few question marks that were still lingering out there about them. And I think it's great for this ball club. It does a lot confidence-wise for this team. So.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's not like they just started out like gangbusters either. I mean, they had a couple drives where they got right into, near the Iowa red zone and couldn't capitalize, right. Whether it was, going for it on fourth down and getting stuffed or missing that field goal. And it just kind of seemed like, oh, this is the same old story that has been for the last year and a half. But they stuck with it. The offense started to generate some plays. And then by the time, the defense locked them down in the second half, the offense was moving it up and down the field. And
yeah,
they looked good.
They looked really good. Really, really good. I was very impressed. And, the key is here, consistency. When you talk about, college football or any sport in general, you got to be consistent. If, great game, chalk up the W, let's move on. Let's see if MSU can keep this thing rolling now.
Because Indiana
is no.
They had a bigger win than we did yesterday.
They had a huge
Saturday.
Yeah, they had a huge win, and we'll see if they can keep it going though. All right. If you want to comment on that MSU Iowa game again, 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. We're going to take a quick break. We don't go anywhere. We still got a lot to talk about. More current sports is coming right back.
Tom Hanks stars in the new movie Captain Phillips, based on the true story of a 2009 attack by Somali pirates that led to a hostage drama at sea ended by Navy sharpshooters. On the next Fresh Air, we speak with Hanks and the film's director, Paul Greengrass. Join us.
That's Fresh Air, coming up at 3 o'clock. Hi, this is Al Martin with Current Sports. It's your opportunity today to invest in Current Sports during our fall pledge campaign. Here's the number to call right now, 517-353-5000.
Nearly 50% of WKAR's funding comes from community supporters like you. Only around 10% of our funding comes from the federal government. A strong public radio station, which is what we like to think of ourselves as, is part of the fabric of a vital community. Listener support makes WKAR a better radio station, and it makes Current Sports a better show. That's why we're asking for your support today. We are only as strong as our community. We need your help. To do so, go to WKAR.org or call 517-353-5000. Go ahead and make a financial contribution.
And as you just said, Matt, I mean, your contributions pay for the programming you enjoy and depend on. WKAR's most vital source of income are listeners who take the step to become members. Be a part of us. Be a part of our family here at WKAR. Just around 10% of our funding comes from the federal government. It all starts with you. Listeners provide the most important part of the money that keeps your favorite programs like Current Sports on the radio. You depend on WKAR to stay informed, and we depend on you to pay for that connection. Call 517-353-5000 with your support, or you can make a pledge online at WKAR.org. It's simple.
Now, Al, some of these people out here, they don't think they don't support WKAR because they don't think they listen enough to make it worthwhile. And I think that's hogwash. That's
hogwash. Poppycock.
If you listen for an hour or two every day, maybe you just tune in to hear which one of us lost the picks for the month and has to sing karaoke.
Right.
Maybe that's it.
Right. Alex, yeah.
Your Alex money is still good here.
Yeah, it's still good.
We need any contribution we can get. You can listen between 500 and 700 hours a year if you do it 1 to 2 hours a day.
That's it.
I mean,
1 to 2 hours.
That's like averaging 300 movies a year in just public radio time. That's a lot of invested time.
A lot of invested time that could be used to pay for something you care about.
Right. Help support something that you care about in your community. It's a lot of radio, and it's worthy of your financial support each and every year. Become a member or renew your support now. Call 517-353-5000 or visit WKAR.org.
Exactly, and we want to just reiterate that every contribution is important, whether it's a $25 gift card, installments of $25 per month. Every listener's financial investment is valued. Even if it's a penny a day, we don't care. It is valued, folks. You depend on us to stay connected to the news of the day, to know what's going on in our community and around the world, and to offer great entertainment. And we depend on you to help provide the funding that makes it all happen. Every contribution is important. Every donor is important. So please call 517-353-5000 right now or go to WKAR.org. And thank you for your generosity.
Have you ever maybe bought season passes or a family membership to the pool or gym only to use the benefits far less frequently than you planned? I think everybody has.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
I mean, everyone's New Year's resolution, go to the gym. January 21st, gym's empty.
It's done.
It's just the way it is.
That's
you know what would be a better use of your time and money? A WKAR membership. It's a good investment because they use the station each and every day, and you pick the amount you want to give. You want to start out at $10 a month, get that member card like we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just a dollar a day.
Yeah,
you know how much loose
day.
Change I have when I go home? I should have a Coinstar in my
right.
apartment, but I don't. You know what right. would be a better use of it? Dollar a day to WKAR.
It's simple. Very, very simple. I'm the same way, man. I go home and my pockets are filled with change. That could be used for WKAR.
Let's make it more productive.
Make it more productive,
a
folks.
A productive use of our time and money. You can go ahead, pick up your phone, call 517-353-5000 or visit WKAR.org to help us out. Thank you.
Please give us a call. Again, as Matt just said, 517-353-5000. Don't hesitate. Give us a call right now. All right. Well, got about 9 minutes left, guys. Of course, I'm now joined by Alex Sharg as well. Just finished talking about MSU in Iowa. And you know what? Really quick, guys. You know, fantasy football is so frustrating. So frustrating. I know it is with me because Matt, I'm playing Matt this week in our current sports fantasy football league, and I'm glued to my computer, my laptop the entire weekend, tweaked my lineup, thought, okay, I got a good team going here. Next thing you know, and also, Matt doesn't even have a kicker. He has no kicker. Only 58 points this week so far. I still have Tony Gonzalez playing, but it's so frustrating sometimes. So frustrating. I'm sure many of you out there play fantasy football and get so frustrated. Well, it's Monday, so you know it's Motivational Monday. And DeAndre Carter has a special message for all of you who just suck at fantasy football.
This one is for you. Guy that signs up in his fantasy league every single year. Without fail, you are Mr. Consistency. In fact, not only do you sign up, sir, you sign up first. That's awesome. That's amazing. That is phenomenal. We congratulate and appreciate you for that. There's only one bad thing, and that's the fact that signing up first is the only time you're first all year. That, my friend, is a problem. But we need to do something about it. And I know what you are saying to yourself. You're saying to yourself, this year is going to be different. I am not going to make the same mistakes that I made before. I'm going to learn from the past. No, I will not draft Mark Sanchez. Won't do it. Not this year. Not going to do it, sir. I know that's what you're saying to yourself. You're saying things like, okay, I'm going to do a better job with my sleepers. See, you chose sleepers that were so sleep they never woke up. See, that's a problem. See, oh, I'm going to get Kevin Cobb as my sleeper. That's a problem. You're right if you're telling yourself that. Or you're saying, you know, hey, that Felix Jones, he just got signed by the Steelers. He didn't work out in Dallas, but I believe he's going to do it. You're telling yourself these things, and I'm here to let you know that it is simple. I believe in you. I believe you can do it. I believe that you're not going to get Peyton Hillis syndrome and go and get the guy who everybody knows is going to fall off the cliff the next year. I believe that you're going to make the right decision. I know that you can do it. You can do it. You can avoid falling in last place. I believe this year will be your year that you don't finish last. Go get them, big fella.
Thanks so much. DeAndre, I needed that because I am dead last in the current sports fantasy football right now. Alex, don't even give me that, man. Don't even give me that. I needed that motivation. Thank you so much. DeAndre Carter, Motivational Mondays with DeAndre Carter. Again, if you wanna, you have a certain topic that you want, you need DeAndre to motivate you on, go to our Current Sports Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and give us a call, 517-355-9527. I'm doing terrible, but I'm number one in one of my leagues, so don't, hey, you know, it's just one of them. Fantasy football is all about luck.
Now, everybody's number one in one of their leagues. I mean, come on.
Yeah. I know, but still,
it's
come
the
on.
Same with March Madness every year. Oh, I have a bracket. Oh, I'm winning. I'm
Look
winning
here.
My bracket.
Okay, how many leagues
one
are you guys
seven.
In fantasy football?
I'm in three.
See, I'm in three as well.
Two.
You're in two. And how are you doing, Alex, in yours?
Well, this one, I think, what, I'm at fourth of six right now?
Fourth or sixth?
In ours.
Oh, in ours. I can check right now. Right now, as it stands, Matt's number one at 3-0. Mike, our former intern, is number two. Alex, you're number three. Oh, wow. DeAndre's four. Aaron, Aaron has an interesting name. His name is guaranteed to lose. Well, you're not losing right now, brother. I need you to lose, Aaron. He's 1-2 right now, and I'm six. I'm in the last
beat
place.
Beat me. He beat me for his first win.
Yeah, that's, oh, gosh. All right, well, Alex, we also just finished every Friday night, of course, Friday Night Lights, high school football was certainly in action. You went out to the Holt and Sexton game. Talk about that a little bit, man.
It was supposed to be a big game, but it actually wasn't too big. And also, if you are listening right now, you can check this online. It will be on the WKAR page later. We'll have full video highlights, coach interviews, player interviews, all the latest recaps. But, yeah, this one was out of the water blowout. This one was just all Lansing Sexton. Javon Ray, 239 yards and three touchdowns.
Javon Ray.
Wow, I mean,
he was something else.
Literally, there was one play in particular that five Holt players tried to bring Javon Ray down, could not bring him down, so they threw him up in the air, and he was running in the air. There's a video highlight that we will be posting later on WKR of Javon Ray running in the air because five Holt players cannot bring him down.
Man, he was something else.
It was crazy.
He's a special kid. So 48-7 was that final,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, 48-7. Did not get a hand of Al after the game. Did not talk to Al Slammer. Okay. But I imagine that he'll come back strong. He always has his boys ready to play. So
he does. They always have a solid team. And you know, it's something that when I looked at the score after that game, it really shocked me. I mean, Holt and Sexton,
and it was homecoming. It was homecoming.
Yeah, homecoming. Both undefeated in the league. You know. Wow, 48-7 though in favor of Sexton. So, also it's Monday, so that means Pick 'em Mondays. What you got for us, Matt?
Alrighty, guys, it's a tight race so far. Al, we really capitalized on those MSU prop bets we put forth on Friday.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, we actually put a bet out there, or one of the pick'ems was what was more likely, a lightning delay during the Iowa MSU football game, or a play for more than 40 yards, which MSU did not have previously coming into Saturday. And you know what? Yeah, we won. Me and Matt picked the 40 plus yards. And Alex, I guess, was trying to be meteorologist shark and was totally wrong. Didn't happen, though.
Threw you off with that weather forecast.
I think it's the Iowa. The Iowa weathermen are just not as qualified as they are here in Michigan.
Right. Oh, that's who you were, you know, looking to kind of
match
the judgment.
We need the Dave Ackerley.
That's
here.
The scapegoat. Right. Terrible.
That's a scapegoat.
Terrible.
That was terrible. And you know it rained all weekend in Michigan, I tell you that. Gosh. All right,
so right now I'm up 15-12. We still have the MLB Division Series to go, so we'll add those in as we go along. Also pick the Championship Series later in the week. But right now I have three college football games to get to. First one, MSU, Indiana, Old Brass Platoon. Who you got?
Alex? Ladies first.
Always, okay, ooh. Fine.
Those are fighting
I'll take
words.
It. I'll take it. And we have a lady looking behind the glass,
just
so you know.
Emmanuel, shout out to Emmanuel.
Well, all right, so I'll take MSU.
Yep.
We'll go, let's do 31-14.
31-14,
yep.
MSU?
MSU.
MSU 28-23.
Tight game.
That close.
Not a bet. Indiana scared us last year. I'm going to go Michigan State 31, Indiana 21.
Okay, and real quickly, what are the
Michigan places? At Penn State. Need the score as well.
Mm.
Michigan.
Did you guys see? I almost got this game last week. Did you see that?
You did. You missed it by three.
You almost did, but you didn't. Michigan.
So you still get nothing.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Give me Michigan 31-21.
Alex?
Okay. I think this is going to actually be low scoring. I'm going to say it's going to be Michigan 24-17.
Okay, real quick. 1 minute left.
Give me Penn State 21-17. I'll go with the upset. Okay. All right, Northwestern at Wisconsin.
Just pick.
Just give us the pick.
Give me Northwestern.
Okay.
Yeah, Northwestern for me.
Same. And then NFL Thursday, Giants at the Bears.
The Bears. Giants.
I'm going with the Giants.
Really?
I think they're going to do it.
They showed life last week. I'm going to take the Bears. I like Alshon Jeffrey.
I'm going with the Bears. All right. Before we leave, special thanks to everyone that contributed to today's episode of Current Sports. Production assistant Alex Shargan, Matt Lutke, engineer Aaron Young, Peter Wharf, our station manager here at WKR. Thanks to Chris Solari for joining me, Michigan State sports writer at Lansing State Journal. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing and WKAR FM HD3 East Lansing. As always, take care. Have a fantastic day and be easy, people.